beautiful music from the Calvary Church Charlotte Choir, a big choir that does a wonderful job. And I want to talk today about my feelings about our God as a gentle God. Our God is a gentle God. We know this from the words of the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters, he restores my soul." So the Lord is my shepherd, he is a gentle God. As a child, my family used to recite the Lord's Prayer often at our dinner, where we all ate together. People don't do that now. But then we all ate together as a family. I'm sure some people do. But many now are so busy they don't get together. But we did. And when we did that, our Father would lead us in various psalms and blessings. And we learned to recite them by heart, which is a blessing to do that. Don't you know when you hear these words of the 23rd Psalm that God is a kind, loving, and a gentle God to us? He leadeth me beside the still waters and he restores my soul. Those are the words of the psalmist. He restoreth my soul. I believe that God is still around us today in earthquakes, storms, or even heavy rains. And beautiful days, too. Throughout all things that happen on this earth, though, he is there to comfort us and to be with us, to be by our side. In our busy, overpopulated, computer-driven, car-centered world, we fail to see his great presence, sadly. We don't even know he's there. Today we're just too busy to take the time to discover him. And we think we're too smart to believe in such things as a real live God anyway. That was only for people of thousands of years ago. Simple-minded people. We are much more sophisticated. But he is there. He is there watching and trying to help his children. Like Psalm 23 states, God is basically a gentle God, though, in all circumstances, who dislikes suffering and barbaric behavior among mankind, his children. We see this in his aid to the Israelites in Egypt. If you remember, I know you do, he led them from their captors to freedom through the deserts. Why would he take the time and effort to help the Israelites to escape a hard life in the way that he did if he wasn't a gentle God who did not like suffering and barbaric conditions? The early Roman Empire was, in fact, very brutal. Hundreds of Greeks were enslaved by the Roman armies at that time. Hundreds were crucified. Now, keep in mind that the preceding Greek Empire had also been brutal under Alexander the Great. So they certainly weren't the only ones who had brutality, the Roman Empire. But it is true that they did enslave people and they did crucify some. Gladiator slaves were forced to barbarically kill in the arena. In fact, we know Christians were said to be fed to lions in the arena. What a horrific situation that was. How horrible and brutal those people were. God put a stop to the second largest Roman Empire arena, which was located near at Pompeii. He put a stop to this arena massacre where gory brutality entertained its masses there. In Pompeii, a massive volcano erupted with so little warning that it actually petrified some people in the street, leaving them there for 1800 years as an example from God. Pompeii's gladiator arena was stopped by Mount Vesuvius. The dreaded and awful tales of death and brutality that went on there were put to a immediate silenced grave. Now you say that I'm being hypocritical if I say God is a gentle God. No, that's not true. God cannot be so gentle that he does not reach out to stop wickedness or brutality or goriness or enslavement if necessary. He is a gentle God to those people who follow his rules and obey his commands. And he does want the earth to get along in peace. But we know that there are evil people in the world, inspired by the devil and spiritual enemies of good. And we know that these people create great harm and hardship. And so therefore, if God were so gentle that he did not stand up when he saw suffering and pain, then he wouldn't be a God at all. So his gentleness is in the heart. The gentleness and love he has for those who act like people should and get along with each other in a normal manner. On the last day of the Roman Empire's presence in Constantinople under a newly moral Christian Roman emperor and a strong church leadership there, a pillar of light arose from the great Hagia Sophia, the Christian Orthodox Church that stood on the eastern boundary of the Christian world at that time. There was sort of a dividing line between the Muslims and the Christian world. And it occurred at this place called Constantinople, which is a small finger of land surrounded by water, kind of a bridge. By this time, the Muslims at that point had taken control of Jerusalem after the Crusades had died down, and the Christians were the edge of the Christian church basically was located here at Constantinople. And Constantine was the name of the Roman emperor who was a Christian at this point. He was not the first Constantine. However, this pillar of light arose from the great Hagia Sophia, which is a tremendous church located there, Orthodox Christian church. God, I'm sure, saw that his church would be defeated in that city that day. He knew what was coming. There was what they call a blood moon that shone on the night before this great eve of battle. What can we learn from that? Well, God, I think, is a gentle God. No matter who was in that city, that great walled city, they were doomed to suffer that day under the horrific battles that would ensue. There had already been a lot of battles to that time, and the city had been ringed with Muslim warriors. And there were people who would be run away into the countryside, have their homes burned, be killed, maimed, and starved. So I believe God ached that day of great doom for those people and for the church there, and especially for that great church where the pillar of light arose. There were flames that danced on its roof. All of these were miracles. The miracle of lights were witnessed at Constantinople's downfall as a Christian European city, as surely as Pentecost was witnessed. For those who are familiar with that, there were flames that danced across the heads of the newly begun Christians at that point, who would be the disciples carrying the word of Christian church across the world at that when it first began. It was an amazing sight at Pentecost for sure. I would love to have beheld that myself. I imagine all of us would. As a matter of fact, I have been fortunate. I have been extremely fortunate with God and His contact with me. I have been allowed to see God's amazing hand when He sent a miraculous flaming spectacle to me on a dark, cold evening, November the 1st, 2002. My husband and I in a pasture, I know, sounds crazy. He was the manager of a large horse farm, and we were on top of a hill looking down at the deer at the edge of the woods. And when we were there, we witnessed what no one would believe, a huge spotlight emanating across the sky. It was an incredible phenomenon. At first, we thought it was just a regular spotlight, but it moved closer towards us. It was coming from the ground like a regular spotlight. It looked like it was, but then it moved towards us, and then it changed shape and became a huge overhead object, which we could not really tell what it was. I don't think it was a real object. I think it was actually what it then transformed into, a burning bush or Ezekiel's wheel. Flames of fire, like those that bounced at Pentecost across the heads of those gathered there, or the dome of Hagia Sophia on its last day. This is incredible, people, and I don't know how I can explain it to you because it just happened. I mean, I don't know why it happened when it did, but I know my life was changing at that point, and I think that's probably why this did happen. I don't know. But I know this. God is alive and God is real. God is alive and God is real. He is not an imaginary phenomenon that somebody wrote in a Bible. He's actually a real spiritual being. An entity. I can't say he's a being like a person. If I say being, that's what people might think. He is much greater than that. He is large enough to cover this whole entire earth. He is large enough to direct the earth and what it happens here. He is large enough to direct your life. He is large enough to come into your life and bring miraculous angels to see you. He is large enough to leave messages that you wouldn't believe. Once when I worked in at a large children's home facility, about 200-acre campus that had a rock wall, and they were considering putting in a very large model daycare center there to tie in with a local huge hospital nearby medical center. And no, not by accident. And I spoke this on the stage of the large gathering of United Methodists at that time, as the home was sponsored by them. Not by accident. It rained and it rained and it rained and it rained. And finally, a section of that wall fell. It had been up for at least 75 years, that wall had. and a section of it fell, approximately 50 to 75 feet wide enough for an entrance way for this new facility to where they had it planned. None of us understood that message, but it was a real message. It came from God. God is not only real, God is an intelligent being. He is very, very smart. He knows what is good. And in my life, when he came at this time, it was close to that same time that this happened, I believe he reached out to me to help me face some very hard times ahead, where I had lost my job at that time and basically my whole career of 20-some years. I lost my home. I lost the horses that I had, my husband and I, and everything we owned. After that, my husband died not too many years later. We were in terrible straits. It was an awful hard time. But because of his love, I reached out myself to become a parson, a person of God. By attending seminary myself and completing a master's degree in theology at seminary, and God's angelic appearance changed my life forever. I now participate in that large church, Calvary, where you heard the choir, the amazing choir. There are amazing miracles on this earth. No, not just Chinese weather balloons, but real live miracles. Don't be fooled by scientists who think in numbers and experiments. The powerful, incredible might of our Lord transcends all of these men. He is real, and he does care about his churches, his people, especially those who believe in him. And he honors those who follow his plans for justice and right living, for those who help the poor and needy, for those who share his message of goodness and love. He is a gentle God. But there is another side. For those like the awful gladiator spectacles, the people who coordinated and created those gladiator spectacles in ancient Rome, in Pompeii and the Colosseum in Rome, for those people, he has a different hand, and it is not a hand of gentleness or kindness. It is a hand of hardship, death, and suffering. And those words, you reap what you sow, they are very true. For those who bring hardship and pain and suffering, it will be returned to them. God was certainly in pain on that day when Constantinople fell to the Muslims and his church was desecrated there, the Christian Orthodox Hagia Sophia Church. It was graffitied and turned into a museum, and it is still there. 500 years later, over 500 years later, it is still there today, but it is no longer and has not been a Christian church. Today, Turkey, Istanbul is the name of Constantinople. Constantinople was named for the Christian Roman Emperor. But now, Turkey's Istanbul, it became Muslim by the Ottoman Empire's force that day, is suffering again by the earthquake this week. 5,000 likely died there. At least 8,000 have been saved through very hard efforts, though, and certainly God has wept. What a sad day it is for that great nation of Turkey. Syria suffered an awful civil war over 10 years ago that resulted in 1 million Syrians, it was reported, leaving for refuge in Europe. So this is the second devastation for that country. But God is certainly there, and other nations are trying to help the suffering there. So today, here's my prayer. a prayer to God, who I say is a gentle God to those who follow his ways. We send you our thanks, great God, again today for your constant care and concern for our Garden of Eden, our Mother Earth, and for we, your children. We see your miracles. I see your miracles, and others do. And we know how much you care for us. We know, God, that you are a gentle God at heart, who loves the earth, who loves your people, your creation, and the beings here. We know that you wish for people to not abuse others with and be unjust to others. And surely your goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. We who love you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.